Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Good afternoon, everybody. A tremendous appreciation for all the guys who took long trips to come up. An appreciation to all the guys that are here. Bruchim Abram and Bruchim Anemsum. Really, my real one is to like welcome each person, to welcome Lenny, Yitzi, Judah, Mattis, each guy, to go guy by guy. Meishel is back home. Welcome home, Meishel. Yeah. There are many thoughts and feelings that I want to give over. I want to share the schedule, just what we're going to do. Bez Hashem, we'll sit and learn. Welcome home, Chaim. We'll sit and... It's nice to see Chaim sitting next to Daniel. Daniel next to Chaim. That's warm and cool. But just the schedule. To start with the schedule, what we'll do is Bez Hashem, we'll ask different of our Rebbeim. Different Rebbeim will share whether it's about Pesach, whether it's about Bein Azmanim, whether it's about the Zman. We're holding at the end of Zman. To the guys coming back from Eretz Yisrael, the Zman, a Zman is finished. To the guys that are here, Zman is finishing. There's Bein Azmanim, that's a new Zman that's beginning for that the guys coming back from Eretz Yisrael are already in. The guys who are here are headed towards. There's Pesach coming, so the Rebbeim have different topics to speak about, and we'll ask the Rebbeim to address everybody. Bez Hashem, we'll learn, we'll sit, we'll be together. We'll definitely, Ben C. Newman's here. He will be playing, that I assure you. So we'll definitely hear some music together. We'll chop around before Shlomo leaves. I don't think he left yet. Is Shlomo here? Shlomo, Gurdy for sure. We'll ask Shlomo, we'll hear from Shlomo and Bensi before, we'll chap around before Shlomo leaves. So Bez Shem, the plan is, it's now 12:10, the plan is to fabreng together till about 2. There'll be room for people to stand up and speak and make noise, and we'll try to have a good time together for a couple of hours now. There'll then be lunch together. We'll fabreng together by lunch. And then at 3 o'clock, there'll be a tournament everybody can enjoy. There'll be an alumni team, a dorm council team, the 13th grade, the 12th grade. There'll be a geschmack. So we'll have a tournament in the gym at 3 o'clock that will go for about 2 hours. So that's the basic schedule of the day. I had an interesting thing happen on Shabbos, and I've been thinking about it since. I want to share this with the guys. By Kriyas HaTorah, I was trying to get quiet in the shul. It's important. The Torah coming out of the Aron is an Eis Ratzon. It's a time of tremendous... It says Tfilas on a scabble. A matter of fact, the Minaga Yeshiva, like us Hasidim, we're very makbid, that when we have a chasim, we were Zaycheh 2 weeks ago, to make an afra for Aaron Shmel. Aaron Shmel's afra was in yeshiva. And the minaga yeshiva by us chasidim is, besides the guy whose afra it is, getting the last aliyah, he gets psich also. He gets to open the Aaron Kodesh, whoever is the chasin matas. Our minaga yeshiva, like chasidim, is the chasin, besides getting the last aliyah, he gets to open the Torah, he gets psicha. In many places in Klal Yisrael, when somebody's wife's expecting, in the 9th month, so it's a very serious time, a child's about to be born, it's dangerous actually for the mother, and its child's journey to the earth is fraught with danger, and the minhag Yisrael is that the guy whose wife's expecting in the 9th month gets psicha. Opens the Aron. The reason for this is a Zayar, actually in our parashas, Vayakel. See the Vayakel of Pekudei, it's actually Ashkacha. I wasn't even thinking about this. It happens to be a Zayar in parashas Vayakel. I believe this week's parasha just occurred to me this minute. I'm not fluent in Zayar, but I do remember that it was quoted either Vayakel or Pekudei is the Zayar. Fascinating. But the Zayar says, what's this inyan that the guy does psicha? What's the point? The Zayar says, when the Torah comes to us as an Eis Ratzon, it's a time of tremendous closeness to Hashem. When the Sefer Torah comes out of the Aron, it's a time of closeness to Hashem. and tefillos are answered then. It's a time, a tremendous, auspicious time of prayer. And he says that whoever allowed Tzibur's tefillos to be niskabel, you open the Aron, you created this Eis Ratzon, so your prayers get answered. If you helped others' prayers get answered, your prayers, like the Gemara Baba Kama called Mispalel Bad Chaveira, who nena tchila. If you daven for others, you get answered first. Here, if you cause an Eis Ratzon for the Tzibur, you open the Aron, so you get others answered. So Lamai said, it's important to me, Kavod HaTorah is very important. Respect for Torah. The Gemara's mivur that Kavod HaTorah trumps Limud HaTorah. If you have Kavod HaTorah or learning Torah, Kavod HaTorah comes first. A respect for Torah. Torah, learning Torah, Hashem's Torah. A respect for Torah is very important to me. And it's important to me when the Sefer Torah comes out that there's a respect for the Torah. So I was asking for quiet in our shul, in our community, in our base Knesset. I was asking for quiet when the Sefer Torah came out. And I started thinking about it. Most guys respond naturally to the Torah, and the Sefer Torah is a certain, there's a respect we have that's deep inside our people, a respect for Torah. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about what Torah means, what Torah says to a Yid. And I was thinking like this. A Bacher once told me that he was like diagnosed. I don't know if there's like a made-up diagnosis, but he has ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. And he was like, as if like in his DNA, remember being labeled a disorder means he's like wired. Hashem made him that he's against authority. This ODD is, what is it called? ODD, oppositional defiance disorder, means that you oppose authority. And he was like, some wise, quote-unquote, man diagnosed him that deep in his DNA, he has something in his soul that authority he doesn't respect. So I think it's hogwash, as this Bacher thought. And he told me that what really is from young ages he was energetic. He had high energy, and he wasn't easy for his kindergarten teacher, being an energetic fellow, or his first grade Rebbe. So authority always viewed him as a threat, and authority disrespected him. And he said, if somebody holds your garbage, you don't hold to that person. Just any person, any human being, we do not hold of people who don't hold of us. That's just logical. So he said, the first authority that holds in me, I listen to authority. I'm just like anybody else. I don't hold the people who don't hold in me. If the view of the Torah, if somebody has the view of the Torah that it doesn't give space for the person, so you can't tell that person, respect the Torah. Does the Torah respect me? Does the Torah even give room for me and my stuff? I felt so fortunate when I was asking for quiet, when the Torah came out, I wanted to like, and I want to say this to everybody here, we're in a yeshiva that there's space for people, this comes from the Torah. All the learning of the Torah that I have seen, and we're trying to run this place loyal to the Torah, to me the Torah has taught me that there's space for me and space for you. The Torah has taught me that there's space for people, really space for people. And I do acknowledge that in the name of Torah, there are people that take away the space of people. If Torah says, I'll tell you an interesting thing, I want to give this over this way. My kids were once talking in my house while I was speaking. I was running some einig in my house. So one of the bachrim said, Rebbe, I don't get it. Why don't you have your kids quiet when you talk? And you let your kids talk when you talk. So I told the guy, my kids' whole life is their father talking. They can't talk their whole lives. They can talk whenever their father's talking. Their father's a loud mouth and talks. They can talk when they're bust, I promise. The Torah gives space for people. If you tell somebody who, in the name of Torah, was told there's no space for him, be quiet for the Torah, he should absolutely keep talking. You can't respect that which doesn't respect you. You can't acknowledge that which doesn't acknowledge you. Acknowledging that says you don't exist. This Torah says you exist. The only Torah, the Torah, gives space and presence, and it validates and acknowledges every single person. That's the Torah we learn. That's the Torah we study. I feel fortunate to be part of a Beis Medrash that acknowledges people, that there's space for people. I've come to like, if I want to, it's hard to sum up a beautiful yeshiva. And in welcoming guys back home, to sum up a yeshiva, the best I probably could do is there's space for me and my problems, and there's space for you and your problems and answers, and there's just space. There's really space for people here, real. There's really space. I have found this yeshiva. I'm going through my own journey, and this year, my own part of my journey, I find there's a lot of space for me. I'm amazed how the guys make room for me and my issues. And there's room for guys. There's really room for people. There really is. And you have sometimes you have a difficult person, a very, and we make room. I remember there was a bachur who decided he wants to get the yeshiva shut down. He had a mentally ill. He has schizophrenia, and he decided he struggles, and he decided that it's his mitzvah. So he started like pulling alarms and getting the yeshiva. He pulled one fire. The fire people came. They were leaving. He pulled another one. He was trying to shut the yeshiva down. He had in his head that would be a good thing. So I had to ask him to leave. I wanted to get him help. I actually tried to get him into a home. He needed to work on schizo and get medicine for what he needed. Guys in yeshiva were very, very upset that I asked them to leave. Rightfully, you can. And they know my shit. You're not allowed to kick a guy out of yeshiva. There's no such thing. Parents can't kick a guy out of home. And here, like, I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But they're right. Guys were upset, and I was so happy how upset the guys were. There's room for a guy. Even if there was room for him. And the yeshiva, if I define it, the place is a lot of room for people. There's room for people. I used to argue with Rai Oberlander how many people should come to yeshiva. It was a debate of ours, a very, very serious debate, a very complicated, not said lightly, because he was a big person, a big tzaddik, who was a massive impact on the yeshiva, and there was a tension between us. He felt we should cap it at about 100 guys. And in a certain way, he was right, except I held we have no right. Me and him don't own it. And a guy would grow here, you have no right to say no. I don't think it's my yeshiva. So we had this debate, a very deep debate, and he felt there should be a cap, and I felt that's not how it should run. I had different reasons. I didn't feel it should run. So it's a shaila how big a yeshiva should be. The Chazal say Amidu Talmidim Harve, they have many Talmidim. But it doesn't give a number. It's such a frustrating Chazal, because here we had a contentious debate and we can't even run the Chazal. Everything's in the Torah. The Torah says have many Talmidim, how many is many? If you don't tell me how many is many, so what do I learn from it? When two people are debating, we have to turn to the Torah. And the Torah says Amidu Talmidim Harve, have many Talmidim. Shucks, but it doesn't give a number. It's clear to me that it's not, I don't think that would be the source of our debate, that we can resolve it from that chazal. I think there are other chazal, but that chazal, what's it saying at many talmidim? You don't tell me how many, so where do I know to draw the line? But I really think chazal are not coming for a number, but it means there should be space for many talmidim. There are many, I consider secular institutions, if you only take a certain type, you're a secular institution. Because the Torah says, Amidu Talmidim Arbe, have many Talmidim, which means there's space for many types. There's space for many types. If you don't have space for many types, to me it's a mark of a very poor place, very influenced by secular influences. If you see yeshiva that has only one type succeeding, that's very, very poor. There's something controlling and something off that defies Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. They have many different types of Talmidim. I'm always impressed with families that have many different types of kids. They're just different types of kids, and success looks different. And I'm impressed with yeshivas like that. where you don't control the journey. There's Torah, but there's Talmidim Harbi. There are many kinds of Talmidim, many types and many forms of success. And I look at our yeshiva, it's such a spacey place. There's room for many. So when we say to somebody, the Torah's out, shh, we're not asking you to be quiet and show respect to that which doesn't respect you. We're actually asking quiet for that which brings out the covet of each person, acknowledges and recognizes. When I see the guy talking by the Torah, I'm like, this is the Torah that's saying your value, that teaches your value, that gives you the most space in the world. I have a picture of Yerushalayim. When I picture Yerushalayim, I picture cranes. That's what I picture, cranes. Construction. And I think that's such a cool definition of Yerushalayim. It's a place where there's room. There's just room. Every guy thinks he owns the country. Every guy. The amount of protests, it's overwhelming. Everybody's making Afghana about something. This guy's making Afghana about the next Afghana, who's making Afghana that there isn't Afghana, who's making Afghana that there are Afghana. Everybody's making Afghana. And there's a deep sense that everybody owns the place. When you're driving and a guy's sitting in front of your car, which happened to me this time in Eretz Yisrael, I'm like, who does he think he is? He thinks he owns the land. And there's a deep truth that you didn't all think they own the land, because we do. And there's really space for us. Now we have to figure out what to do. I hold in Durham's a place, there's space for people. You talk about asking for quiet by laning. It's like, who are you? I own this. Every guy owns this place, and they're right. And then we have to work, how to work when a lot of people own a place, how to own it together, b'shotvas. But there's a sense of truth in Eretz Yisrael that we own it and we have a space. It's the place of great space. And I think Hashem is Mekayim Shalom. Hashem gives us space. His Torah that he hands us gives space to people. When we ask to be quiet for the Torah allows, the Torah gives much room for our talking. The Torah begs us to speak. I feel a lot of times, even now, we're asking for quiet. Shh! We want to hear Rai Shapiro. We want to talk together. Don't we want guys to speak? All our conversations now are going to be promoting more speaking. That people are talking together in tremendous yedidus, in friendship. So it's funny, we're saying, Shah, understand the Shah. The Shah is, could you please listen why you two should be talking? Could you please listen so you could talk better? That's what the Shah is. Please keep talking. Please, I beg you to keep talking. Can we explain it more about that? Can we learn a little more? The main thing is two yidden should talk. That's the thing. I would say my own journey, if I would share my journey, it's a longer story, but it would be part of my journey. I want to admit, when I was a youngster, I'm going to admit this, it's an honest place. When I was a youngster, if a guy would leave Eretz Yisrael to fly back for the wedding of his friend, this guy was a guy you would say like Bittul Torah, what a heck. I would be cynical, he's flying back for the wedding of his friend. Like Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. He doesn't know the value of Torah. What a funny, exaggerated, he's going back for his friend's wedding. Today, I think, like, a guy understands Torah. If a guy doesn't fly back for his friend's wedding, he doesn't understand Torah. I think the Torah, to me in yeshiva, if a guy has a l'chaim in San Francisco, I think you should walk, fly, and get there. Of course, we're born, the whole Torah teaches about being there for a friend. My father was somebody who was a masmid nifla, who used this time better than anybody ever met in the world. He used every minute was cheshbon. Every minute. There was no, I never saw my father like chilling out for a minute. There was no such thing. Every minute was used. There was like no such thing of like killing time. It was like no shy. He was a person who used his minutes. My father went to every simcha of a yid. A yid made a simcha. To me, of course, you're there. What else would life be about but to go to your friend's vart? Aaron Schmel's vart is in Baltimore, the big tzaddikim in yeshiva. Of course, what? Of course, what are you talking? You have a chance to make your friend feel good. What else are you busy with? You're learning. What did the Torah teach you? To bring a shmeichel, to bring a smile to your friend. It's like, what else? That's life. That's like life itself. Le'nivra adam alohi alachriti. So I want to say, when we ask, like, to be quiet for Torah, the Torah reading, we're saying it's so good you're schmoozing with your friend. Let's hear more about schmoozing with our friends. Let's hear how to do it better. Let's hear how to do it in a deeper way, in a more meaningful way. So let's listen to the Torah. Let's actually make room for that which makes room for me and my friend. So that's almost how I would explain the quiet for the Torah. But I'm tremendously, tremendously appreciated. Mayor, that you're back home is the life. Thank you, Mayor. It's cool that we have a couple of times a year where Zeicha to like meet up, to sit down. It's refreshing. Guys get anxiety, different people, you meet people, there's anxiousness, but it's also so refreshing. You'll see, it's funny, you'll see one day, Bezus Hashem, I want the guys to tell you this, you'll see, please notice this, your own self, one day, Nisanel and Yitzi, Yitzi's a chassan, welcome.
How you doing? How are you? How are you?
Tell me if this is accurate, Rai Shapiro, tell me if this is accurate. One day, Yitzi's with his wife, this Kala's wife to be, he's going to have a beautiful family, children, beautiful. Picture the scene. Michal, I want your pictures. And the son, I'll just look at the way he's dressed, look at the guy, beautiful. I can't be as, which is the shiny face or the cool clothing? I'm more drawn by the shiny face, but the cool clothing's amazing. Lenny, the son, I'll divorce. Steigen. You're going to have, Bez Hashem, you'll have a wife and children. Picture the scene. Picture the scene. So you get together for a Shabbos, the brothers, a beautiful scene. We've all been there, right? Shapiro, you've been there. I've been there. Right, Brownstein, you come with your mishpacha to sibling. So picture Lenny's, let's say this way, Lenny's visiting Yitzi, wherever they're living. Whatever Yitzi's, let's say, living, let's for argument's sake, he's in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and Lenny's living in
Ramat
Eshkol. Fine, we can go there. Ramat Eshkol, Ramat Beit Shemesh. So Lenny has his beautiful chevra, and he's coming for Shabbos for Yitzi. You'll see at first the kids will fight. One kid will like bite the other kid. At the beginning, they're like anxious. You watch, it's the cutest thing. I'm sure Rev Solomon's seen this. When you visit your siblings, at first they like dance. The playing, later in Shabbos, it's like bliss. The cousins are mamish. It's normal at first, there's like an anxiety. How it expresses by little kids. At first, one kid pushes the other. They're like trying to figure it out. Then as Shabbos comes, they like melt into this beautiful. We've seen in Eretz Yisrael, Rai Brownstein brilliantly changed the plan, and it's been amazing. We get there, we used to come right before Shabbos. We came Erev Shabbos. And Shabbos had the anxiety. Rai Brownstein brilliantly switched it. We come Wednesday. The first gathering is like an anxiousness. Guys haven't seen each other. By Shabbos, we're sitting like brothers. It's comfortable. It's a struggle. It's otherworldly by Shabbos. So it's normal. There's a quick anxiety at first. New people. Where's my place? Who's him? Do I still have my space? And we get comfortable, and then brothers, you'll see when you'll see it's Eleni. Let it be. Don't worry. Lahavdil a billion. If you ever watch Lahavdil, you watch two dogs at first. I've seen it. They first like jump on each other till they're comfy, and then they play nicely. But Lahavdil, a lot of havdalas to human beings. We have different parts. Slowly we get comfortable. It's just a tremendous joy to have the guys back in yeshiva, back where their space. There are things I want to share. I shared a little already, but I want to share more. I want to go around and hear from the Rebbeim. I'm for no particular order. I see Rai Shapiro here. I want to say the schus, the chabura and the beis medrash that goes on in the annex for years. A lot of the brightest guys in yeshiva sit around Rai Shapiro, and they're treated to something that's incredible. There's an honesty. Rai Shapiro learns Torah exact, very similar to what I felt, a quality that I saw in my Rebbe. We talk about this space for us. Rai Shapiro connects to Torah. There's like room for himself, his personality, his thoughts, his creativity. and he relates and connects in a very magical way. There's the Torah and Rabbi Shapiro. It's not an ignoring of self, it's a bringing yourself and bringing it to Torah, bringing Torah to yourself. I love the way he learns Torah. The schos of having a Rebbe who's an honest, growing person, incredible person, and we've watched in that base medrash the guys who are plugged in, some of the most impressive, neat guys in the yeshiva. If you know Yaakov Herman, you know what I'm talking about. You'll yet play a song for the chevre. Maybe the bird that... Yank, if you would play for the chevre at some point. You know what? You know what? You know what? Not play. You know what? Why am I sweating trying to introduce Rabbi Shapiro? I'm going to put Yaakov Herman on the spot here and now. Introduce Rabbi Shapiro. That's it. That's it. Why am I bearing all the pressure here? Am I out of my mind? Yaakov Sherry, I'm going to ask Yaakov Herman. I demand quiet for Yaakov Herman. I'm going to ask Yaakov Herman. Just introduce Yaakov Herman for a minute. He's one of the most sophisticated guys we've had in the yeshiva. He's somebody who's grown worlds. I've watched tremendous aliyah. His respect, dignity, care about others, the warmth he exudes. In a difficult year for myself, I promised one of the friends who's given me incredible warmth is Yaakov Herman at a time that I needed in my life. And I just appreciate him as an incredible friend, a warm person, a caring person. So I'm going to ask Yaakov Herman, he had no time to prepare, he didn't know this was going to happen. Introduce Rabbi Shapiro, tell the guys. Maybe the guys don't know Rabbi Shapiro, just tell them for a minute or two, very briefly.
I don't know what I can say. Rabbi Shapiro. Rabbi Shapiro Sher is very... you don't know what to expect in Rabbi Shapiro Sher, because it could be anything, and anybody can, you know, say anything, and can have the greatest answers to the wildest questions, and it's always a surprise, and... yeah, I look forward to it every morning, and that's all I have to say, really.
What I wanted to share was... So what I want to share is that there are certain ideas when it comes to our daily Avodas Hashem, which are ideas, and nice ideas and important ideas, and there are certain ideas which get to the root and the foundation of everything we do. And kind of everything we do stands on those foundations. I feel like those ideas come up on Pesach, because Pesach wasn't just another miracle or group of miracles that Hashem did for us. Pesach was like the birth of our nation. Pesach was when we became Hashem's children, basically. When Hashem showed that we were the chosen nation. And it was like the beginning, the root, the foundation of everything. And I feel like the ideas that we take out of Pesach become more than just good ideas and important ideas. It becomes like our fundamental. It becomes like the root, the foundations. And the fact that it's the foundation of our nation means it's the foundation of our personal Avodas Hashem. I feel like there's a certain idea that I wanted to discuss with you, which I think is such an important root in our lives that you can't go anywhere without it. I feel like you can't do anything in your Avodas Hashem without it, without this idea that comes up on Pesach. it's nearly impossible. And I think it's the most important thing that we struggle with as, I know for myself, I know as a generation, I feel like it's the root of everything. And it comes up exactly on Pesach. We were showed something on Pesach which brings out this foundation, and it's exactly what this generation struggles with. And not only that, I feel like the reason why the generation struggles with it is because I think, what I feel is that that's, Mashiach is supposed to come at a time when what we're dealing with cuts to the heart, the root, the foundations of everything. In other words, every generation had its struggles, but this one thing that I'm going to talk about is like struggling with the very foundations of life, which I'll show you what I mean in a moment. And I feel like that's what's necessary for, that's like the last step before Mashiach comes. That's what I think. And the idea is like this. I've said this over for many years, but I didn't realize how integral it is in our lives until this year. I realized how deeply important it is. One of the great Rebbes says perhaps the greatest drush I've ever heard anywhere. The greatest drush I've ever heard. I've been saying it for many years, so you may have heard it from me before. He says as follows. It's brought down by the Shem Shmuel. He says, the Pasuk says, when it talks about Hashem passing over the houses of Bnei Yisrael, in one of the Pesukim, instead of saying Hashem passes over the house, it says Hashem passes over the Pesach, the entrance. Asher Pasach al ha-Pesach. Pasach, Pei Samaches, pass over the Pesach, the Pei Samaches. He passed over the entrance. Now it's a little strange, because Hashem didn't pass over the entrance, He passed over the house. So why does it say He passed over the entrance? What's the point of that? And the Shem Shmuel brings down, from one of the great Rebbes, I'll say again, to me, the greatest drush that I've ever seen in my life. And it cuts to the heart of the Yontif of Pesach, and like I keep saying, cuts to the heart of our Avodas Hashem, cuts to the heart of everything, cuts to the root, the foundation of everything. He says that in general, our relationship with Hashem is that we have to do something, and then He gives to us. We have to earn, and then He gives to us. That's the point of the world. We do and we earn. We do and we earn. That's the purpose of everything. Adam la'amal yulad. We're made to work hard. That's what we're taught. That's what we do. That's what schar is. That's what reward is. That's what olam haba is. But there's a much deeper aspect. In general, we say that we have to do something to earn from Hashem is very little. We have to do something. Chazal express it. Pisuli Pesach shall kechudo shall machat. Open for me a hole, an entrance, like the sharp part of the needle. A very small amount we have to do, and Hashem says, "I will open up to you kepisuli shall ulam, like a big hallway." That's what Chazal expressed this idea, that we have to do a very little, and Hashem will open up very wide for us. This word Pesach is the same word used by the Yontif of Pesach that Hashem passed over the Pesach, the same word. Says this Rebbe that what it means is on the night of Pesach, we did not have any zuchusim. We didn't have any mitzvahs. Chazal say we were involved in Avodah Zorah. We were at a very low point. We didn't do anything to earn anything yet. But on the night of Pesach, Hashem taught us a different idea. Besides this earning and you get, there's a different idea. An underlying idea. The foundation is that we don't even need to do that little bit when it comes to that night. That night of Pesach, when we were chosen as Hashem's betrothed one, it's going to end with Velakachti. Kicha means a betrothed, engagement. Kicha, that's what it means. Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to end with us being betrothed to Hashem, and in order to do that, we didn't need to do anything. And that's what it means. Hashem passed over the Pesach. You know what the Pesach means, says this Rebbe? The Pesach that Hashem passed over meant the Pesach kechudo shel machat. usually we have to do a little bit. We have to open up a Pesach, Gechudo Shomachat. On Pesach, Hashem is Pasach. On that little Pesach, Hashem passed over that. Hashem said, on the night of Pesach, you don't need that. You don't need that. Because when it comes to our relationship, the love that I have for you, you don't need to do anything. And so too, nothing can ever ruin that relationship. It is the night of unconditional love, where Hashem says that the love I have for you, the connection, the engagement, the betrothal, the kedushin, is not dependent, there are no strings attached to it. The strings attached have to do with other things, have to do with Olam Haba, Schar, all that. We have a mission to do in this world. We're put here with a certain mission. But in terms of the unconditional love, that is without condition. That remains forever. Forever and for always. We can never ruin it. There's nothing we could do to sever that. That's there forever. That is the foundation of all. I feel like without that foundation, it's impossible. It's just impossible to live without that foundation. And I feel it's clear to me that Hashem set up a generation where many of us did not have that unconditional love. But besides that, we're much more emotionally sensitive than previous generations. It's very clear to me that in previous generations, they had what we call tougher skin. They were much tougher. It's very clear that the reason why there's so much more trauma in our generation is not because there was much more actions which caused trauma, but it's because we're much more deeply emotionally sensitive. It's pasha to me. It's very clear. And the reason why that is because so that we could have this idea that we're not unconditionally loved. That we'll only be loved if we produce, if we succeed. We'll only be loved if we're doing certain actions. There are strings attached to the love. And the reason why that is, why we're set up with that, many, many of us are set up with that, is because that is our avoda. Our avoda, that's the root of everything. It's right before Mashiach is coming. And the root of everything is what we, our generation, is supposed to work on. That is our mission, to rebuild this idea that no, Hashem loves us no matter what. And we're able to, if you're able to develop that, you're able to hold two things at the same time. Right now, the way we look at it, me, I'm talking for myself, we learn a Musar Sefer and we learn how terrible we are. I know this for myself, I know this for others also. We learn a Musar Sefer and we look at it and we say, oh, that's another reason why I'm a loser. That's another reason why I'm insignificant. That's another reason why I don't deserve love. And we base our relationship with Hashem, we base it on how we're doing with our mitzvahs, our averas. We do averas, Hashem hates us. We do mitzvahs, Hashem loves us. And it's just not true. It's just false. It's not the truth. And I believe once we have that, once we're able to build that, you're able to hold so much. Back previous generations, I think they had it more naturally. They had tougher skin. They were able to handle... That's how they were able to handle harsh chazals, harsh musr. I read something unbelievable. I started to get very into Rav Nachman Mibreslov. I'm finally able to like understand a little bit. We've been going through it. Daniel introduced me to it. He brought a certain piece. And I said, I want to learn the piece of Mafilu Bastara Besocha Astara. I want to look it up. And I looked at the piece. I was able to break it open a little bit. But I read the most unbelievable thing. His Talmud writes, in this Sefer, his Talmud writes, unbelievable, that Rav Nachman would walk around b'shivron leiv, with a broken heart. He would not walk around b'panim sochakos. He wouldn't walk around with a smiling countenance. That's what it says. From his Talmud, he says, Rav Nachman would not walk around smiling. Unbelievable thing. Rav Nachman Mibreslov, he would not walk around smiling. But he said, this is a very, very deep point. I think this point is what I'm trying to bring out. He says, but to his Talmidim, he would say, you have to be b'simcha tamid. Be b'simcha tamid. Why? He says, because I am able to walk around with shivron lev, with a broken heart, and not fall to atzvus, not fall to sadness, to depression. But to you, I say, you're not able to do this, so you should walk around with happiness. It's an unbelievable thing. What does that mean? That means that there's such a thing, there's such a level where a person could walk around with a shivron leiv and still be happy inside. You know where that comes from? That comes from the idea that I'm loved no matter what. I'm bursting with self-worth, self-esteem, all the plagues of this generation. If we just focus on that source, on that chachma b'goyim tamin, I believe that you find chachma amongst the goyim. I always talk about Brene Brown, how she like hit the mark. She has chachma that she hit the mark, that she speaks about shame. She studied shame for so long, and I think everyone could read her books, should read her books, rather. But what she doesn't know, she has no idea where it comes from. I find that very often, that these books that are mechaben, that reach a chachmadika place in psychology, in Musar, they're reaching a great place, but they never know where it comes from. She could say, "We own your story. Your story, just be self-confident with whatever you have. Just no shame." But she doesn't know where it comes from. She can't, Torah b'goyim al tamid. You don't believe, they don't have Torah. She can't say where it comes from. We know where it comes from. And it comes from the fact that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were the last people that had to fight for this unconditional love. They're the ones who earned it for us. But once they got that, the bris, the pact with Hashem, once they had that, once they earned that, they passed it down, they passed their midos down to us. That's it, we have all their midos. We don't have to work for that anymore. The Nefesh HaChaim says we have urges, we have desires, which come from Avram. We have desires, natural desires, which come from Avram. That's what the Nefesh HaChaim goes through, different desires we have to go to Eretz Yisrael, that comes from Avram. And once they solidified that pact, we don't have to work on the pact anymore. The pact is there forever. There's nothing we could do. There's nothing that's there. That's there. That's where the no shame really comes from. That's where all the plagues that we have, perfectionism, low self-esteem, all these things, it all comes from this idea. It all comes from this idea. It's because we're supposed to work on bringing back the Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and realizing that, like, no, they already worked on that for us. We have worth regardless of anything we do. That's where Nachman comes from. Nachman saying, I'm able to be mitzar over the Beis HaMikdash. I'm able to have certain pain because I'm bursting with self-worth because I'm a Yid, because I'm a son of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and I have a neshama. I believe that this idea is the root of everything. This idea comes up on Pesach as Pesach discusses the roots of all. Pesach discusses the roots of all. And I believe that if we realize this idea, tell ourselves this, that this Asher Pasach Ala Pesach is with us always, it would our avodas Hashem would be completely different. It wouldn't be with shame or guilt, and it would just be besimcha. It would be mamish besimcha tamid. I think this is the root. This is the yisod of all, and this is what we're such a emotionally sensitive and powerful generation because we're working on the roots. We're working on the foundation. They didn't have to work on this as much before, I believe. Since Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it wasn't the avoda so much. We had this avoda, and that's why I believe there's so much shame and low self-esteem and perfectionism. All that plagues our generation. But I believe we should take that as a badge of honor. It's like, this is it. We are the generation before Mashiach. We're the ones that are supposed to bring us back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, this unconditional love, this Asher Pasach Ala Pesach. That's what I wanted to share with everyone today. Shkoach.
Thank you, Rabbi Shapiro. I thought it's kedai. We had a bracha rishayna before Rabbi Shapiro. Yaakov spoke. I wanted to ask Eliyahu, who's one of the dorm counselors in Yeshiva, and is just very important here. I want to ask Eliyahu, after Rabbi Shapiro, also one of Rabbi Shapiro's devar, to give an appreciation for Rabbi Shapiro.
So when I was in like 10th and 11th grade, the Rav would always come to me, or not always, but it happened a few times, that he would say, like, you're going to love Rabbi Shapiro Shir. You're going to love Rabbi Shapiro Shir. I think you've even said it to, like, my dad, because he still brings it up. And 12th grade came around, and I started going to Rabbi Shapiro Shir, and I did love it, and I feel like we got close. We built a connection. Then I left for Israel. It took my year. Now that I'm back, I've been really going, probably count on my fingers how many times I've missed shir. And I love the shir. The topics range from deep, intricate stuff like, is God hot? to to, you know, the Holocaust, the U.S. deep state, everything, you know, it's all over the place. The way Morty Samowitz once said it to me is that he said, like, every time I come to Rabbi Shapiro's shir, I learn, like, an interesting, like, little tidbit about the world. And I don't know if I'm, like, just, like, advertising the shir now, but, like, I feel like it's, like, the hidden gem in the back, you know, in the annex. And every time I go, I do learn something interesting, something unique, a new worldview or a new little fact or tidbit. And, yeah, I just want to thank Rabbi Shapiro for opening up the shir to me, accepting me back into the fold. And, yeah, it's all. Everything.
Is it ever that before we ask another Rebbe to shir, we should ask Bensi to play something?
Oh, yeah.
Bens, is that possible?
By the way, Rebbe, anytime I call my dad on the phone, I learned like something really interesting about Shapiro's shir. He goes, "What kid is new? You used to always tell me that you're going to love it there." Every time I call. Him.
Thank you, Ben. Welcome home, Rabbi Russ.
Go sauce. Thank you.
I need a chair. You can put this on the chair.
Just before I go, I just wanted to share that when I was here for school, like, obviously it was the best move possible for me, but I wasn't really able to, like, to grasp, like, what yeshiva offers. Like, I'd go to Rabbi Kael's shir, kind of just sit around, bounce around all the rebbeim, hear two words, walk the next guy. And now that I went and I left and I came back, and, like, I've only been here for, like, 2 hours, and, like, I'm already hearing all these amazing things from a Shapiro, Rabbi Kael's, and, like, I'm able to, like, internalize it, and I'm really happy that I came back here and stopped by, and it's very nice and refreshing. Just fall down, I'm here. I'll be brave before your face. Be the blanket for your tears. When they're falling, then just fall down. I'm here in the shadows, far and near. In the fog and in the clear. Oh, 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 I'm always by your side. I am your ride or die. You bring me back to life, and I am here for you. We fall down, that's just life. Hard to see wrong from right, but I'll pick you up tonight. 'Cause I am here for you now, now. Trust fall down, down. Trust fall down, down. Oh, oh, oh. Trust fall down, down. Trust fall down, down. Oh, 'cause I am here. I'll be brave before your fears. Be the blanket for your tears. When you're falling down, just fall down. I'm here in the shadows, far and near. In the fog and in the clear. Oh, oh, I'm always by your side. I am your ride or die. You bring me back to life, and I am here for you. We fall down, that's just life. Hard to see wrong from right, but I'll pick you up tonight. 'Cause I am here for you now, now. Trust fall down, down. Trust fall down, down. Oh, 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 down, down. Trust fall down, down. just fall down, down. Oh, cause I am here. I'll be breathing for your fears, be the thinking for your tears. When they're falling down, just fall down. I'm here in the shadows, far and near, in the fog and in the clear. Oh, just fall down, down. Just fall down, down. Just fall down, down. Oh, 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 down, down. Just fall down, down. Just fall down, down. Oh, oh, oh. Running back to you so the Hebrew could sing along. Yeah. Oh, for 8 years I was scared to see the light my parents shine toward me. What I thought I saw was not really good. So beautiful and nothing can compare. Oh, we fought so hard to get in. While I sit here and neglect it, it's so beautiful, but I couldn't see that. Oh, you see me running. Oh, running back to you. Oh, running back to you. You see me running, running back to you. Oh, oh, oh. You see me running. Oh, running back to you. Oh, running back to you. You see me running, running back to you. And it's so beautiful to be here. And I never wanna leave, never wanna leave, never wanna leave. Ooh, oh, and I don't have to live in fear. Cause I know you're watching over me, watching over me, watching over me. Oh, you see me running. Oh, running back to you. Oh, running back to you. You see me running, running back to you. Oh, oh, you see me running. Oh, running back to you. Oh, running back to you. You see me running, running back to you. Yeah. Woo!
That was
wake up, I love. You know it?
never knows wake up, my love.
Da-da!
Yes, please, please continue. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was awesome. Happy I got to do it.
Soka, my sweet name. Just know I'm here with you, my dear.
We're going to have, I'm going to ask Raizon to speak, then I want Shlomo if he can. We need to sing together the Tefillin song. The Chassan's here, Yitzi Dvor is here. It's an honor. Yitzi, it's an honor. I want to sing together. After Raizon speaks, it will be appropriate. It will bring us towards the Tefillin song. Raizon is, Rebbeim have increasingly said that when a guy comes, if he comes 13th grade, if he comes as a dorm counselor and he's 25, if he comes as a Rebbe and he's 34, it should be like mandatory that you come by way of Raizon Shir. What Raizon gives when a guy walks into the yeshiva, Rabbi Shapiro spoke about unconditional love, nothing in return. Raizon's tremendous care and support of guys, not expecting anything back. Literally, the unconditional, in the fullest sense of the word, is something that's special. The way he, I don't want to say fights for his guys, champions and encourages and is there and pushes the yeshiva to welcome and to make more space. Raizon, definitely in that world, I say the yeshiva is a place of space. Raizon helps create this space, so it would be an honor to hear some thoughts from Rabbi Zon.
First of all, I just want to not apologize, but say how much I wished I could have been here for Shabbos. We had a bar mitzvah in Philadelphia. My sister made a bar mitzvah, but it was I was really very much looking forward to spending Shabbos with the guys. We spent Thursday night, and we got to spend today. A lot of the guys I just saw in Eretz Yisrael also, so... Yeah, I came back at 1 o'clock in the morning last night, and our heat was broken. So it's a very long night. So I'm coming off not so much sleep, but if everyone wants to make some noise, and I'll just lip sync something, and then I'll let you know when to cheer. There's a common scenario that comes up in yeshiva that we speak about at my table often, and I think it's something that. Important to hear. If you've heard it before, you hear it again, and if not, it's definitely a good thing, something to keep in mind. Then we'll try to tie it into Pesach also. Many times a guy comes to speak to one of the Rebbeim or gets frustrated in yeshiva that he doesn't feel like he's doing anything here. I'm wasting my time. I could be at home working. I have a job. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but feels very frustrated. Boredom is a very common word on campus throughout the year. And the guy feels like he could be elsewhere doing more. And I used to approach this this question in a vague but also somewhat of an impossible angle. I used to approach it by saying that, listen, you know, I understand. Now, right now you don't feel like you're growing, but Ritz Hashem, when you look back in 6 months, you stick it out, you know you're going to look back and you're going to see some growth. And the guy's like, you know, like next week I could have $500 in hand, you know, and it's a very difficult conversation because $500 now versus 6 months down the road looking back and seeing maybe some growth is very hard to appreciate. Now the approach that we take at the table... you know, it's much more focused, I think, on the premise of the statement that I'm wasting my time. And what we like to say is that, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, you know, some guys take this as like a Waterbury Rebbe silver lining. I don't think there's a single guy on our campus that has wasted a single second this year. And always the response when you hear that is, you know, but I was in my bed watching TikTok for 8 hours yesterday and the day before, YouTube shorts, whatever's your, you know, so. And so it's a hard, like, what do I mean by that? And the answer is that when you're in a place of growth, when you're in a place of growth and you have a mindset of growth, so you're learning something about yourself. Why are you in bed watching 8 hours of TikTok when there are things going on campus that you could be more involved in? These are questions that if you ask yourself and you think about it in that way, you realize that almost every moment of our life, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, is a growing moment. It isn't a waste of time. Even if you're wasting time, it's not a waste of time because you're learning something about yourself. You're trying to get to know yourself better. Again, we have a campus with a full schedule. And a guy sometimes finds that his anxiety doesn't allow him to join certain things. That's a learning experience. He finds that he's not interested in certain things. That's a learning experience. It's not a waste of time. You know, I have parents call me. My son's at home for a few weeks now. It's not a waste of time. He's not wasting his time because why is he home? It's an amazing thing. We have guys who leave campus, which is a safe space, a place where he's embraced and people want him here. And he goes to a toxic home, a place that he doesn't want to be, because he gets frustrated here very quickly. Getting to know yourself, like we always talk about, getting comfortable in yeshiva and getting to know yourself and having to face what you're learning about yourself. That, yeah, when I'm here in a place where there's a lot going on, I spend my time in bed or in the dorms, that's a very difficult place to be. And the fact that I would run home to a place that I'm not comfortable and leave a place where I am comfortable is extremely telling and something that teaches us a lot about ourselves. Any person, if he wanted, could avoid the most difficult situations. And I remember one of my rebbeim giving an example. You know, a person is dealing with different interpersonal relationship issues. He could go to a cave. You know, he could find himself a quiet place where he doesn't interact with people. You know, and imagine a person like that coming up to Shemayim after 120, and Hashem saying, like, "Oh, I see you never got angry, and you were always patient." You know, and then he like, you know, double, like does a double take and like, "Oh, but you never were around anybody. Like you didn't work on yourself. You didn't grow." Sometimes, you know, we have to face the most difficult things that we have to face, the things that we're not interested in facing. And sometimes that means, you know, sticking it out on a campus that makes you uncomfortable, that brings out your anxieties. And again, it's not a waste of time. It's important for guys here to know that. It's something we talk about at our table all the time, because if a guy understands that he's not wasting time, it's a tremendous relief. I'm being myself. I'm learning about myself. And you're in a place where we're going to have conversation. We're going to talk about it after the fact. And we're going to ask why. Why are you not coming? Why does this happen when you get to this situation? Every year, I definitely mentioned once or twice before that something that changed my Pesach experience, my Seder experience, was something that my father instituted in my house maybe 10 years ago or so. And that is that we pick up one, like kind of one theme. I would bring up other things also, but there's one theme that we talk about throughout the night. Because otherwise, you know, there's a lot of, everyone wants to say their thing and this and that, but there's one theme, and certainly when you speak in that area, you focus, you know, someone says, okay, along that line, and the conversation kind of follows, you know, a certain line, and it kind of puts everything into focus. Like sometimes I remember being very overwhelmed by all the different points being brought out, different areas. It kind of allows you to focus. So perhaps, you know, this could be, you know, my theme this year. Maybe it will be. And I think in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, you know, this is something that, you know, I could imagine someone in Klal Yisrael saying, like, you know, just take us out already, like, what's with the, okay, we saw some echoes, like, take us out. And then once we're out, just give us the Torah. Like, so many situations came up, and Klal Yisrael made, you know, on their level, so many different mistakes, and so many things happened, and we ended up getting delayed so many times. And, you know, it seems like a waste of time. But in reality, it was Klal Yisrael, on a personal level, getting to know themselves. We, looking back, look at every moment and say, look at Klal Yisrael, like, you know, they were avadim in Mitzrayim. It took a while for them to become to break free of that avodah mentality and the mistakes that they made and the appreciation that they needed to have and the lower levels that they were on and the growth that they had. Every single moment looking back was a tremendous growing experience, an opportunity for Klal Yisrael to get to know themselves. And again, I think that's something that, you know, I think maybe we'll focus on this year, you know, the idea that, you know, like the Rav Kalish likes to say, we're playing the long game. We're looking to, let's see where you're holding. Let's grow in a real way, slow and steady, till you're ready for this, till you're ready for the next stage. You know, just one last point, you know, everyone always says, Bein Azmanim, you know, I don't know what he's doing in yeshiva, like parents call, but at home, you know, he's always in his bed. He's always, you know, he doesn't go to minya. I know you tell me that sometimes, and a lot of times people say, like, oh, Bein Azmanim is, you know, that's not the best time to, like, to judge, you know, where your son is holding. And that's true in a certain way, but in a certain way, it is a good time to judge, you know. Rabbi Kalish always says, like, when it comes to Shaduchim, you know, we want someone who is Bein Azmanim, looks like this man, you know. See how we're doing with, you know, the things that matter to us. You know, with your... When I tell guys who are dating, you know, dating is not a time to push off your life, you know. Two of our guys were called out by two girls the same week. I got the same exact call. I told the girl that I wanted to go to Minyan, and she asked me, so why aren't you? You know? And he's like, I didn't know what to say.
Dating.
You know? Right, so yeah, I'm dating, right? So the point is that, you know, Bein Azmanim is a good time. It's not a waste of time. It's not a time to waste time. And whatever we see ourselves doing, you know, kind of gives us a sense of the appreciation that we have for things and, you know, how strongly we feel about certain things and where we're holding. It's another opportunity to get to know ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
da 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 da.
Give up on a soul. Is there only one? gotta get it out.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Do you know Ben Seaman?
I don't know.
Fast, Ben Seaman.
Amazing. Seen him around, I know
Glitch. Yeah, we did.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.